following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
And greetings, friends around the world. The exciting news of your future has been hidden from you by mainstream Christianity. It really has. Do you know what lies ahead? Why haven't you been told? In a few minutes, I'm going to give you specific information about your very real future. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, what really lies ahead in tomorrow's world? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, enormous changes will soon take place on the world scene. With the terrors in the Middle East and the decline of American prestige around the world, it should be obvious that our way of life will soon change, and change dramatically. But what most of you have never been taught is the good news of what lies just beyond the Great Tribulation, which the Bible clearly predicts. Most professing Christians have been told that they will float off to heaven at the end of their lives and have nothing to do. Is that what your Bible actually says? Remember, the Bible is the only reliable source for this kind of information. All the rest is just human speculation. There are dozens of contradictory human theories, but notice what your Bible actually says. Go get your Bible if you have one handy. Some of you don't, I know that. But if you have a Bible, it'd be good to pick it up and look at it and see what it actually says and prove these things. Be sure of these things. Prove these things from your own Bible. Notice 2 Peter. We're going to begin in 2 Peter near the end of the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God inspired these prophets of old to tell us what's going to happen, and God tells us that we'd better listen. Turn to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send. See, Christ is in heaven at God's right hand now, as most of you know. The Bible says that. But that God may send Jesus Christ, his second coming, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive. Christ is there now, until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. All through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Micah, Amos, Zechariah, all the other scriptures talk about this coming time of God's intervention. All the prophets do. And it's a time of restoring of the way of God. It's a time of restoring of the government of God. It's a time of restoring of the rule of God, which God once had on this earth. We need to understand that time, and we need to understand how it involves us and our future, which is very exciting. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John to the seven churches in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. The message is from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. All of us are going to have to be born again someday, not just some sentimental change, but born from the dead by a resurrection. And the ruler over the kings of this earth, Christ is the ultimate ruler to guide and orchestrate world events. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We have all sinned. We've made hundreds of mistakes. I have made hundreds of mistakes in my life, and I have to repent. And repent even daily of continuing vanity and selfishness, as all of us do, if we really understand. And Christ's blood forgives us if we repent. He cleans us up. He fashions us. He makes us like He wants us to be. And so we need to be forgiven of our sins through His blood. And has made us, yes, notice this, my friends, the great God has made us kings and priests. Christ has made us, not that we might be, but in His mercy, in His wisdom, in His plan. He's already planned it out, and in that plan, as long as we surrender to do our part in it, we are made. We are made to be kings and priests to God His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Way back in the Old Testament, God told Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. Abraham could have said, well, where are they? They weren't there yet. God is the God, as it tells us in Romans 4 and verse 17, who calls things which be not as though they were. He describes things that will be done as though they were, because once He's decided to do it, nothing can stop it. So let's understand that. He has planned that we, that is the true saints of God, and I hope all of you will become in time true saints of God. Why haven't you been taught this fundamental truth? That all of us are called to be kings and priests. God has made us kings and priests, not just to roll around heaven with nothing to do. Why haven't you been taught that fundamental truth of the Bible? Why? Turn over now to chapter 2, Revelation 2 and verse 26. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Are there rebellious nations up in heaven? Of course not. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as I also have received from my Father. Yes, Jesus is to rule the nations, but the saints under Jesus will also rule the nations. That's our calling. We're to be preparing for that. Turn over to chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. They sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. Yes, Jesus died for us. And you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us true Christians who really obey God, not just follow along with whatever the current fad is, but true saints of God. You have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Not up in heaven, we shall reign on the earth. So we're to assist Jesus Christ to help rule this earth. And your Bible, my friends, never says that heaven is a reward of Christians. The Bible does not say that at all. The Bible never describes a secret rapture of the saints. There have been books and all kinds of videos coming out about a secret rapture. That's ridiculous. Christ doesn't talk about sneaking back. He doesn't do that. You can't find that in the Bible. Where do men get all these crazy ideas? Frankly, they are following their own human reasonings and imaginations. Picture, my friends, the poverty-stricken cities of this present sinning world. This is where the problems are, here on this earth. Picture the starvation and disease that is so rampant among dozens of nations. All this will soon be changed by the second coming of Christ and His rule on this earth. And us assisting Christ, for Christ will be assisted by the true saints of God. Will you be among them? Will you be there? Are you willing to act on the truth? Or are you saying, well, this is different, it's kind of weird, and I'll just go along with my friends or my relatives? Or do you want to go along with what this book does say clearly over and over and over again? Notice what Jesus revealed about the real future of His true followers. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19, verse 11. As they heard these things, Jesus spoke another parable, because He was near Jerusalem, and because they thought, His apostles thought, that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. God does talk about a physical kingdom over and over in the Old Testament, and they thought it was to begin right then. Jesus never said, well, no, it's not a physical kingdom, it's just some sentimental feeling in your heart, or the church. He did not say that. He never disabused them of that idea, but He did explain it's not to come now, and He did show what you do to prepare for it, a government, a real kingdom that was to be set up. Therefore, a certain nobleman, meaning himself, went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered them 10 minas, 10 measures of money. But we could say, spiritually, which we should, that's represented, the talents, the strength, the abilities, the time you have, the opportunities you have to serve others and to serve God. And he said, do business. Use these talents. Use the strengths I've given you till I come. But his citizens hated him, sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. People have never wanted God to rule them. They always want to do their own things. They resent the idea of a real God butting his nose into their sex life, butting his nose into their social life, butting his nose into their ideas of education and politics and so on. They don't like that kind of God. But that is the real God, my friends. Christianity is not just about an emotional feeling about the person of Jesus. It's about being willing to surrender to the God of heaven and to let the true Jesus Christ live his life in you and to develop his character, his strength, so you can assist God and assist Christ directly in ruling over this earth for 1,000 years and frankly help in time beyond that, which I'll cover in a program later on sometime. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded the servants to whom he delivered the money to be called to him, that he might know how much each man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to this man, what? You're going off to heaven with nothing to do? No. He said, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities, literally ruling 10 cities on this earth. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has gained 5 minas. Likewise, he said, you shall be over 5 cities. A magnificent opportunity to serve in tomorrow's world. This will be the exciting future for any of us who surrender to God. This will be fulfilling. This will be absolutely wonderful to have this chance to help rule and to help serve and to help teach and to help rescue the starving hundreds of millions of human beings, all messed up, all confused under Satan's world today. Yet this plain truth has been in your Bible all along. I didn't sneak in and put it there. Why has this basic and extremely important truth about real Christianity been withheld from you and from your loved ones? Think about it. At this point, I invite you to write or call us for a free copy of our vital booklet, 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. This booklet will make world events come alive for you. So call now and request this eye-opening booklet entitled 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. Remember, the booklet is absolutely free upon your request. Even the phone call is free. So call or write us and just ask for the booklet on 14 signs. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic, what really lies ahead in tomorrow's world. We were in Luke chapter 19, verse 18 and verse 19. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has gained 5 minas. Likewise, he said, you shall be over 5 cities. Jesus never promised anyone that they would go off to heaven. That's not in the Bible. It just is not there. But he did talk about jobs of rule, opportunities to serve and to help teach and train and work with people in tomorrow's world. And for those Christians who are willing to live and practice God's way of life, they will have that opportunity. That opportunity to serve untold thousands and perhaps even millions of human beings during the various generations during the coming world tomorrow. So let's understand. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 now. Here the Apostle Paul teaches us the same thing. This is Paul's teaching, Jesus' teaching, Peter's teaching, the teachings of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and all the prophets. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? How dare you go down the street to some worldly court when you have a dispute among brethren? You're being trained to rule now, Paul explains, as we'll see. Use that training. Christians, true Christians, should be in training now to assist Jesus Christ in ruling this world in a few years. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint, or as many translations have it, because he's asking a question, why do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? Why do you appoint these pagan judges, he may have been telling the Corinthians, when you have leaders and elders in the church to decide these things? And you can see the government of God in action that way. I say this to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? Because as he said back here in verse 2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? We're training to do that. That's our opportunity. That's why we're here. That's what we should be learning in God's true church today. Is your church teaching you this vital truth? Think about it. Is your church helping prepare you to assist Christ in ruling the cities and nations of this world? Do they even understand that? If not, why not? Please think about what you should be doing, my friends. Think about what you should be doing. Turn to Micah now in the Old Testament, a scripture again Jesus referred to, certainly as the Word of God. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain, and the word mountain, as all scholars recognize, is used for the kingdom or government sometimes. The mountain or kingdom of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. It will be put over the other governments of this world, as we've seen, and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. There are ways of God we should be learning out of this book, not just sentimental ideas about Jesus, but the way of God. And we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion the law shall go forth. He's talking about the law of God, and all the Jewish people back there knew what he was talking about when he wrote that. The Ten Commandments and the spiritual laws of God need to be learned and inculcated by us. As Jesus explained in Matthew 5, just read Matthew 5, and Jesus expounded and explained and magnified the law of God. He showed us we're not only not to commit adultery, we're not even to look on a woman, to lust for her, or we've already committed adultery in our hearts. We're to learn the laws of God to teach us how to live. For later on, you and I will have the opportunity to teach those laws, to teach that right way to people all over this confused world and help them and teach them and serve them. Bring them out of the suffering, out of the wars, out of the problems. Picture the wars and sufferings going on all over this earth, even as I speak. The Middle East war, the continuing tribal wars in Africa, the war along the Kashmir-Indian border, and all the other wars that are going on. Working under the direct supervision of the living Jesus Christ, you and I can help end these wars, and we can help heal people, literally, physically, and mentally, and emotionally, and end all human suffering. We really can. It's a magnificent opportunity. So please think about it. Wow, what a magnificent calling the Bible clearly sets before us. Sets before those willing to understand and to obey God. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 36 now at this point. Here's another Old Testament prophecy that very clearly is talking about tomorrow's world. Ezekiel 36, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 24. I'd like to give you all the background and scriptures, but you can prove it. We've covered this on this program before. Ezekiel's prophecy was written over 100 years after ancient Israel went into slavery. It's talking about modern Israel, the British descended and American peoples going into a punishment called the Great Tribulation, and then how God brings them back. He redeems them. He delivers them. Verse 24 here, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you'll be clean. I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you." Our nation's disease epidemics, our nation's crimes, our suffering is going up, and it's going to spiral upward, my friends, I'm sorry to say, because we're disobeying God constantly. "I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you," God says, "and cause you to walk in my statutes." Do you know God's statutes? Most of you have no idea what they are. Some of them are named back in Exodus 21 to 23 and back in the middle chapters of Deuteronomy. They're spiritually magnified today. We know that. But nevertheless, we're to walk in that way of life as spiritually magnified by Christ and the apostles. So he says, "You'll walk in my statutes and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you'll be my people. I'll deliver you from your uncleanness." Verse 31, "And you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and abominations." When our people finally realize how far down they've sunk, they're going to say, "Oh, God, God, why didn't we listen? We're so sorry." And they'll come back weeping and repenting, God tells us back in Jeremiah 31 and many other places. Israel's descendants will be regathered from slavery, and they will begin to learn again God's laws and God's statutes and God's ways. Verse 34, "The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate. So then they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, an absolutely gorgeous earth in tomorrow's world. And the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now inhabited and fortified." So God is going to bless our peoples. He's going to bless the whole world, a world restored to beauty and joy. Turn to Isaiah 61 now. Isaiah, at this point, chapter 61. Here's a prophecy that Jesus explained part of at the beginning of his ministry in Luke's gospel. Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," Isaiah wrote, "because the Eternal has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." God did begin to help them understand and come out of spiritual blindness through Christ. But the prophecy goes on. "The opening of the prison to those who are bound." Jesus did not cite that because that part, of course, is going to continue right on. This is a dual prophecy, partly fulfilled at the beginning of the New Testament ministry of Jesus, but finally fulfilled when he comes back again and rescues his people. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." Jesus did come down to this acceptable year of the Lord part, I should say that. But he didn't repeat the second part. "The day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and good things for the bad things they'd suffered in the coming tribulation and captivity." Verse 4, "They shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations." Notice this now. This is going to happen. This is exciting when you really read it and understand it and how it applies to us and to our children and our grandchildren. "Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of foreigners shall be your plowmen and vine dressers." Our people, when they're finally regathered from slavery, God will bless and bless and comfort. "But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast." Some modern scholars try to say this is the church. No, the church doesn't have all this shame. Modern Israel does. The descendants of America, the peoples of America, the British peoples, and the Jewish people as well, have gone off into paganism and into wrong ways of life. We've had shame and turned away from our God. "Instead of shame, you'll have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs." That's the point. There is scripture after scripture after scripture describing the reign of Christ and the true saints on this earth and how it's going to bring absolute joy and peace Don't let anyone tell you that this truth is based on obscure prophecy off somewhere, for it is everywhere, everywhere in your Bible. Tomorrow's world will be a time of everlasting peace and great prosperity. The real future of God's true church, of God's true people, is to assist the living Jesus Christ in actually bringing this about. Are you getting ready? Again, my friends, be sure to call us or write us immediately for your free copy of our powerful booklet entitled 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. This booklet will make world events come alive for you. So call now and request 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. Just ask for the booklet on 14 signs. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now notice what Daniel prophesied about the years ahead. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 26. He says, at the end of this age, obviously describing it as you'll see, the court shall be seated and they shall take away his dominion, this coming super dictator over the world, to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. The true saints of God, the true Christians, my friends, are involved. I hope you'll be one of them. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is obviously a literal government, and the saints will assist Jesus Christ in ruling this earth and bringing peace and joy. Will you be there? Again, be sure to call now and request your free copy of 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. Just ask for the booklet on 14 signs. That's all you need. And be sure to make time each week to tune in to the Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you'll gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.